Veterans Voice is a show that connects veterans and active members of the military to qualified guests who help you find programs and benefits you qualify for and discuss housing, education, career training, and other topical matters. Every show addresses issues that affect your life. Call in and share your experience. 781-837-4900.
Here to make her opening debut here on the Veterans Voice Radio is Kate Hanna. Caitlin, thank you so much for coming in tonight.
Thanks for having me. It's great to be here, and I love to talk about needs and all things veterans, so it's a win-win.
Well, don't talk too much. Me and Wolfie are pretty needy.
Different kind of needs.
What do you mean
it's a special.
What do you mean a different kind of needs?
Well, needs is our name, so NEADS, needs world-class service dogs.
Not here to take care of mine and Wolfie's needs?
Not tonight.
They need a whole dog sled.
Yeah, we can't get Wolfie some shoes. He's got the clogs on again.
Case I'm in
middle
the
of December, and he's wearing clogs.
And he's making fun of me and my bad sweaters.
Oh,
Caitlin, I apologize.
It's okay.
See, this is why Paul comes on, because it's like Monday Night Wrestling. You never know what's going to happen.
That's right.
Who's going to come out of the stands?
Well, I stay right close to the door.
Yeah. But Caitlin, thanks for coming in tonight. Tell us a little bit about yourself and what brought you to the Needs Organization.
So, yeah, I'm a U.S. Army veteran. Married to a U.S. Army veteran as well. So I went into the retired reserve last spring. So I always call my service a long and winding road, as many veterans have. Started out in high school, enlisted, and then went to college and kind of got involved with ROTC and said, I kind of like this leadership thing. And so I took an ROTC scholarship.
Nice.
Switched over, got my commission, went active duty for about 11 years into the Medical Service Corps. I'm a 70 hotel operations officer. And got to do all kinds of fun stuff, you know, go to airborne school, go to air assault school. Our first assignment, my husband and I was...
Airborne school, like jumping out of planes?
Yep.
On purpose?
I'm a five-jump chump, so I've done it five times, you know, just for school. And never got stationed in an airborne unit.
Thank you for that service.
Yeah. Somebody's got to do it, right?
Wow, thank you. Yeah, I guess so.
Well, now all the kids are doing it for their 18th birthday. They want to go skydiving. I'm like, the Army does that for free, you know?
Wow.
It's just,
wow.
Yeah.
But, God bless you. Thank you very much for going through all that.
Yeah.
Jeez, Caitlin, no offense, but you're a girl, and you did all that stuff.
Well,
right?
You know, what I found is the Army, there's no glass ceiling.
Yeah.
You know, I was really, as long as I could hold my own and keep up with my peers, and obviously you have to be physically fit. There's a lot of running, a lot of activity, but it was a lot of fun. And, you know, I got to do all the fun stuff when I was young and enjoyed every minute of it, you know, all the 12-mile road marches and, you know, going to air assault school and just, you know, I think really challenging the limits a little bit and seeing, you know, those times when I said, I don't know if I can do this, just try it, just do it. And usually you end up doing it. So it was a lot of fun. And then, you know, after about 11 years, we have four kids, so started having our kids, and I took a step back and said, you know, I'm going to have a break in service. I wasn't sure if I'd come back, but after a while I said, you know, I miss it.
Yeah.
I miss the camaraderie. I miss it a lot. I got to kind of experience it as an Army spouse because my husband was on active duty, but I missed my own connection. And so I came back and finished out in the reserves and ended up serving about 24 years all total.
Wow. Thank you very much.
Yeah. So it was a lot of fun.
Very nice.
Yeah.
And now how long have you been with that? With the needs group?
So I've only been with needs since the summer, coming on about 6 or 7 months. My husband retired. We moved out here. I'm not from Mass, so he got a job out here, and we moved out here, and I was always kind of looking for the job that was a good fit for me. And I did some part-time things and subbed in the schools and got to know the community. And then ended up taking a job with the Census Bureau, did the decennial census. I ran the Worcester Census Office, so that was a ton of fun.
That's
an
experience.
A ton of work.
Yeah.
That is a whole experience in and
nightmare.
Of itself.
Yeah. Oh.
Through COVID. So
all the
as
better.
As you can imagine. So we had to kind of shut down and slide to the right and all that fun stuff. But after that, I said, and that was neat because I did get to work with a lot of veterans.
Yeah.
We were very pro-veteran. We had, you know, preference for veterans and things like that. But I always missed my connection. And so I was kind of looking, and I met a gentleman actually in the census work that I did, Bill Ryan, who works for Mass Hire and is the Vet Coalition coordinator in Worcester. And he kind of kept me on his distro, and he sent me an email. He said, hey, there's this group, and, you know, I'm like, where's Princeton, Mass? I'd never been to Princeton.
Yeah. I didn't most know anything. People, of, yeah. Most humans have not been to Princeton.
I was like, oh, it's up by Wachusett. Okay,
yeah.
Somewhere
and it's
up
not
there.
The university.
Right, yeah.
No, it's not the university.
But he said they were looking for a person to place service dogs for veterans, and he wanted a veteran. And I said, oh, that sounds kind of interesting, but I don't know anything about service dogs. You know, I like dogs. So I spoke to the client services manager. We had a great conversation, and she said, why don't you come in and we'll talk some more. So I came in and kind of interviewed, you know, but it was I immediately knew that it was – it's a small organization.
Yeah.
It's very – like a very much like a family. Of course, there's dogs everywhere. So you walk in and you're like, there's just these beautiful dogs, you know. And I've never owned a lab, ironically, but we use Labrador Retrievers. And it's a great organization, and I could tell that people just – it's a mission you can get behind, which is kind of what I was looking for. And I get to help veterans, and I get to interact with all these great veteran service organizations that support veterans just trying to get the word out.
Sure.
So it's a ton of fun. I love it.
Well, and, this is a, you know, welcome to the show, and
thanks.
And this is your first time on, but, you know, feel free to come on again, because familiarity is people learn and hear you more than once on the show.
Sure.
You know, they're going to, oh, needs, oh, yeah. Oh, I got somebody that needs to call them or whatever, reach out, because...
Yep.
You know, that's our goal here, is to bring awareness of what's out there.
Right.
And for you to allow veterans to apply for these dogs free of charge to veterans.
Right. No cost to the veteran.
Are you listening to that, folks? you know, you may be a caretaker. Maybe you're helping out. And we're going to get more into the discussion of what types of dogs and what type of assistance. And so now you have these wonderful puppies, Caitlin, and... What happens at birth? Do you buy them? How do you get your new recruits?
So we do purpose breeding on campus. We actually have a new breeding center just about half a mile down the road that we're opening after the new year, probably end of January, somewhere in there. And that's going to, over time, you know, it's a slow process, help us expand a little bit. Before COVID, we were receiving dogs from outside sources, other service dog organizations.
Okay.
Sometimes it was an agreement. Sometimes it was a dog that maybe wasn't right for their program but is right for ours. So we had a lot of, you know, interconnection there and lost all of the outside sources of dogs during COVID. So that kind of put a halt to our program as well as our training. We train in the prison system, and we had to pull all the dogs out of prison during COVID.
What do you mean you train in the prison system?
Yeah, so it's the funnest joke I think we get to say is that you're going to prison, but we use the inmate handlers in about six prisons throughout New England because they have this wonderful opportunity with a lot of time.
Yeah.
And
they have time on their hands.
They have time. And the dogs are, you know, with them the vast majority of the time. They get to, you know, they sleep in their room with them with a little kennel. And so, you know, it's a win-win because the dogs have a lot of time with someone that can give them training.
So 24 hours a day the dog is with the... In the prison with an inmate.
With few exceptions, right.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And so... That's 5 days a week, and what happens on the weekends?
So on the weekend, we have this incredible network of volunteers that also love dogs and love needs, and they come and get the dogs out of prison, take them home to wherever they live. Some of these people will drive, you know, 2 hours just to get the dog.
Wow.
And take it home to get it that socialization and just get acclimatized to the public environment. Take them to games, take them on public transportation, have them be introduced to kids and be around kids and the grocery store.
Wow.
Yeah,
what a neat organization.
Yeah. I mean,
you're very blessed to have that amount of people that would be dedicated enough.
We are.
To go through what they go through.
Absolutely.
And it's not like picking up a can of Coca-Cola, you bring it home and take it and sit there and watch it. No, I mean, you're going to entertain it, you're taking care of it, you're fostering it, I imagine.
Building on the skills that they are getting during the week, too. I mean, we do have need staff members that are focusing on the weekend puppy raisers to give them the support they need to... you know, really get the dog not only exposed to social situations, but continue building on that obedience that they're learning during the week. So they become these great, incredibly obedient dogs.
Do you do anything with the Plymouth County House of Correction at all?
I don't think so. No, we have an affiliation with, like I said, about six prisons.
Okay.
We have a liaison at each prison.
Because we have pretty good connections there.
Yeah.
Since Wolfie got out, you know, all of his old...
they wouldn't take me.
They don't want you back. They don't want you back. We can't find you. Yeah. We can't find a prison to take them.
So now, before the show, we were talking about the three tip... different types of dogs for veterans,
right?
Specifically for certain needs. Can you go over that?
Sure. Yeah. So and just to note, you know, in New England we have the most programs. So we have other programs beyond our three that serve veterans, but obviously tonight we're veteran centric, so we're going to focus on those.
Please.
We have a service dog for hearing program, which helps our veterans with
hearing. What did you say? What was that?
Exactly.
Not bad, Chad. Not bad.
Now I'm going to get three for three, right?
Yep, and you know, we've actually seen a decent number of a little increase in our hearing clients, and it's all spectrums of life, both male, female. You know, we're finding veterans might have developed it in their younger part of service, and it's kind of gradually gotten worse to where it's an impact. Sometimes we see veterans that had a dog before, not a trained dog, but just a family dog that really kind of served as, you know, alerting them to sounds, and that dog is no longer with them. So now they're missing that, you know, that support, or it could be a loved one, maybe a spouse. That's passed, and
Chuck,
now they don't.
We talk about hearing loss all the time.
Right.
I mean, Chuck spent his time in a freaking tank, for God's sakes.
Right.
You know, I mean, riding around in a big trash barrel all day that reverberates.
Exposed to sound.
Oh, yeah.
Lots of hot, yeah.
Oh, you know, and he's all of about 3 inches away from a 12-inch barrel of a cannon, you know, and they're loud outside, never mind inside a tank. So
a recipe for no hearing later on.
Right, yeah. Absolutely.
Oh, yeah,
my
sure.
wife tells me that all the time.
Right.
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
But
that's selective hearing.
Yeah. But tinnitus is a big problem in the military and a huge cause of disability, isn't it, Jack?
Yeah. Hearing loss is very big on the when the vets are putting in a claim. You know, that's one of the biggest things that they go for right away.
And hearing aids are like
$6,000 on the outside. Come to the VA, you get them for free.
Free.
Mm-hmm. Free.
It's not bad.
And some people actually need the cochlear implants, so that's a whole other cost, the surgery and the mechanics of that as well.
Sure. Sure.
And so for us, you know, the veteran for hearing does not have to be service-connected. A lot of times they are. And the benefit, if they are, is they get their pet insurance through the VA, which is a huge benefit.
Wow.
So that's for both.
The VA has pet insurance.
Oh, yeah.
Yep. It goes through the department that does like prosthetics and things like that.
Beautiful.
The dog is basically considered to be, you know, your assistance.
God bless the VA.
Yep.
Way to go.
Like a medical device.
Way to go. Way to go. You know, some of the things they're pretty strict at, but you know, they're coming around. You know, we've been on the air for 7.5 years, and I don't know, Chuck, we can count on one hand the number of people that have called to complain that didn't get what they asked for.
Right.
Or, you know, we're really blessed here in Massachusetts. And certainly, Caitlin, having, you know, you folks out in Princeton is a big deal. But how would someone start the process of seeing if they're right for one of your dogs?
So, and sorry, let me just take one step back.
Okay.
I missed the other two programs.
Right.
So we do have a service dog program for physical
ADD
disabilities.
Jumped in.
Yeah. So our program for physical disabilities is... it has a wide range, everything from, you know, people that need a little bit of support or balance, the dog can kind of be right there beside them. Retrieval is big, so they'll pick up objects, they'll pick up your cane when you drop it there, they'll go open the refrigerator, they can get medication out, they're trained to get a water bottle out of the fridge, you know,
open doors.
Drop your keys, open doors, they have a nudge command so they can go and push the handicapped accessible button to nudge a door, turn the lights on, You know, going into a dark room is not always a safe thing, or quite honestly, a very comfortable thing for a lot of veterans. So they can go in advance of them, turn the lights on, things like that. They can even get your phone. So if a veteran has fallen and can't reach their phone or can't quite find it, we scent the phone with vanilla extract, and the dog has a command to go find the phone, and they'll bring it to them so they can call for help. So it's incredible. They're yeah. amazingly talented.
Wolfie, we're going to have to start doing that with your phone.
Lost
his truck last week in the parking lot.
That I don't think we can help you with.
You don't think?
We can smear it in vanilla.
No.
We can put something in Sully's tires.
Yeah. Well, speaking of... Welcome back, everybody. Greg Brasso, your host of Veterans Voice Radio, here tonight with the unbelievable need service dog program, and we've been identifying the programs. We've gone just roughly the first two programs we covered, Caitlin, were
service dogs for hearing and service dogs for physical disabilities,
and now there's a third.
It's a little smaller program, and this one is specific to about a 3-hour radius from campus, so pretty much only people that live in New England for programmatic reasons. There's a lot more follow-up, but it's our trauma assistance dog program for people with veterans specifically that are living with PTSD. And, you know, that program is really the hardest to match. Those dogs have to be unflappable.
Sure.
Willing to really go in any situation. But we look at those dogs and all of our dogs as a bridge to the community. So oftentimes people come and say, well, if I'm feeling a little unsafe, or is my dog going to kind of block or brace for me? That's not our program. Our program is there. The dog's going to be right beside you, your right arm, but they're going to be a bridge to the community. And that's what people tell us, is that they get their life back with these dogs. You know, the dog has gotten them out of their homes, not to mention add COVID in there, where everyone's shut in anyway.
Sure.
But a lot of our veterans are living a life, of seclusion, and the dogs are getting them back out. Whereas, before they said, well, I wouldn't go to stores, I wouldn't go in places. Now they have that person, that animal that is there to really help bridge right back into the community and make them feel a bit more comfortable, but can also, do 50 to 60 tasks, retrieval, opening doors, turning on light switches and things like that.
Never mind the camaraderie.
And the camaraderie,
Just of being there.
Right.
Just to have, because maybe many of them might live alone.
Right.
Are the lottery recipients maybe living alone? They're trying to be independent.
They might be, or just, a lot of veterans, we don't like to ask for things. We don't like to ask for help. A lot of veterans will tell us, well, I thought about a dog, but then I thought, well, somebody needs a service dog more than I do. And so sometimes
we hear it all the time.
Yeah, it just takes somebody to kind of nudge them and say, you need to think about this for you. And don't worry about the other people that might need them. There's a lot of great organizations out there. Work on the need that is most important for you.
And Princeton's not too far from Bedford. Chuck, maybe at some point in time, maybe some of your vets there could take a couple of dogs on the weekend or whatever. They've got a whole domiciliary program there of vets that I'm sure would love the company if the hospital would ever allow that. Maybe that might be a secondary option, with your prisons being what they are. But, boy, I bet there's some vets around there that would really show some love to these little guys you have.
Well, I think most importantly for a vet that might think a dog is right for them, they need to just contact me and we talk through it. And, if I feel like this is we're the program for them, I'm going to encourage them to apply. We are only taking new applications from veterans right now.
And how do they apply, Caitlin?
They just go on our website, needs.org.
That's NEADS.
NEADS.org. And they click apply for a dog and it takes them right through it.
Simple enough.
Yep, and my information is on there as well, khanna@needs.org. They can email me, they can call me, we can talk through it, I can explain the process. It's a pretty in-depth process. They're going to apply, we're going to call them, kind of do a pre-screening, and then take it from there and schedule them for interview, and get the required documents.
And if someone were of the ilk that, gee, Princeton's mighty nice this time of year, I'd like to take a ride out. Could someone take a ride out and just kind of have a guided tour and just kind of look around? Because your facilities are absolutely beautiful.
We do have a fairly closed campus, so we like to schedule, you know, visitors. You know, most of the information that they need is all on our website. We have videos of our campus. We have a beautiful client house that they can stay in for free when they come. There's videos of that so they can see the facility for themselves and see about the program. When our vets come, the Blue Star Mothers of both Worcester and Leominster feed our veterans, so they really don't have to worry about food when they're there.
Wow.
The dog is at no cost to them.
Wow.
And we have a great affiliation with the Quilts of Valor for someone who hasn't received a quilt. So it's kind of a really well-rounded experience when they're matched with a dog and they come out to get their training, which is about a two-week program.
Wow.
In person, yep, on campus.
Wow. So they come out and you bond with them. Now, have they met the dog before that period of time?
They have not. Once we do the match, which is about a month out, we call them and say, we've got the right dog for you. We tell them the dog's name, which they can't reveal on social media, but they get pictures of their dog from puppy on up to current day, which we match the dogs at about 2 years when they're a young adult. They've reached some maturity. They've received the training they need to, and they're ready to go be a service dog for the person that needs them most. And the dog knows what to do. We have to train the person on what to do.
Yes, yeah, right.
So that's
beautiful.
What the training's really
that's
for.
Beautiful.
Teach the person the right commands to tell the dog.
Right.
Oh.
Right.
And so that person has the correct understanding of what the dog's capable of as well.
Absolutely.
You know, so that joint learning, and that's about a two-week training period?
Right, which at the end they receive their accreditation, which is key because that's how they get their public access under the ADA. So,
wow, beautiful.
They've received quality training, their dog's trained, and then they're accredited, and they maintain that accreditation so that they can go out into the public, which is what we want them to do.
Wow.
They can travel on airlines. They can go to restaurants, go to stores, and pretty much anywhere you and I can go, they can go because they have public access.
And these are legitimized service dogs identification so that a store would not have any problem easily and quickly identifying, hey, this is the real thing.
Right.
They
have to have proper obedience and proper behavior.
Yep.
You know, our dogs are never going to bark unless they're told to speak. So that's, you know, that's the difference. They're going to be well behaved.
Can we send Wolfie there?
We all probably could benefit from some training.
We could benefit a lot.
But he looks like an Afghan wolfhound.
Before or after?
We don't train those kind of dogs.
No, so, no.
Nobody will take me.
And nobody,
stick with labs.
Yeah, it's a tough crew. But, Caitlin, thank you so much for coming over here.
Thanks for having me.
Talking about your program, your great program. Keep it up. And, you know, we got to have you back in and, you know, Keep it up, kid. You're doing a great, great job.
Thanks so much. If you know a veteran, you think they might benefit, just have them contact us.
Sounds good. That was needs.org, NEADS.org, and follow the directions. But you can give us a call here at WATD. We'll hook you up. But great work. But unfortunately,